Hello and welcome to our second installment of Gadget Freaks Podcast. I'm Rob Kotevsky. I'll be your guide today as we turn reflective and nostalgic and take a look at 2007, the year that was. 2007 saw us go go-kart crazy, put those empty Pringles and coffee cans to good use.
Adventures deep into the abyss!
And one for the lazy beer connoisseur in your home.
A grateful nation salutes you.
But first up, we get to witness a little friendly robot rivalry. Dalhousie University in Canada is sure to put to rest the myth that students spend all the days drinking and partying. As part of classroom assignments, electrical engineering students at the university have been creating robots that run on similar and maybe a little less fancy technology that gave birth to the NASA Mars rover from a few years ago. Professor Peter Gregson explains why the third-year engineering students unleashed some robot rivalry.
Because if you'll pardon the pun, a robot makes a great vehicle for learning. It's something you can see, it moves around, it excites some, what shall I say, the enthusiasm of the students.
Students were given the assignment of creating robots that were based on microprocessors.
Well, we're told we have to create a robot that runs with a microprocessor, and we're like, how?
The students' designs may not look like more than small cardboard plates and wheels, but we're told they're sophisticated robots, the less sophisticated brothers of the Mars roving counterparts. The same technology is applied in the students' designs, technology that could make everyday jobs easier and even save lives.
In industry, cleaning out boiler pipes, cleaning out oil storage tanks, any automatic mine detection for finding landmines, of which there's 125 million of the things worldwide. Those kind of issues, you want to send a robot to do it rather than a person.
In the video that was one of our most popular gadget freaks this year, an American inventor took his obsession with go-karts to the very next level. Neurotikart, the homemade electric go-kart, does exactly what it says on the tin. Buckle your seatbelts, guys, you're in for a bumpy ride.
This is the homemade electric cart, the Neurotikart, powered by an advanced electric DC motor with four 12-volt car batteries running a 48-volt system with a Sevcon Millipack controller. And frame is made entirely from Home Depot gas pipe. It's cheap and easy to weld. Some parts, like the wheels, came from go-kart supply houses, and just got finished with it. Hand controls, pedals turned out to be more trouble than they were worth, and little PVC over the terminals because we don't want to short something out. That's basically it.
And it goes something like this. You can view the complete video of the Neurotikart in action at our site, www.electronicsweekly.com/gadgetfreak. Wi-Fi hotspots can be found across the United Kingdom and indeed all around the world. There are many planned and existing free Wi-Fi hotspots in cities across the globe, but there will always be someone who will try to remain one step ahead of the pack. These guys from screensavers.com reveal how they built their very own Wi-Fi antenna. But not just any old antenna, not made out of straw, twigs or bricks. This one is made out of a Pringles can. As these guys explain, once they pop, they can't, well, you know.
Can we make one of these?
We can't make one of these. We make something awfully close.
Okay.
We just love playing around with this.
I do. I love that. No, I want that. I'm glad we still have it.
Okay. The original one out there, right? One of the places... I can't believe you're eating those.
Well, somebody's got to.
We should
point out...
Hey,
don't give me a close-up on my chip.
There's something we should point out. The two things we should point out before we start talking about this.
Yes.
One is that there is a foul and toxic residue left over from a Pringles can antenna.
On my tongue.
Exactly, the Pringles. Two is that, in theory, the FCC only allows you, it's only legal to use approved antennas, antennas that have been certified by the FCC.
The second generation food packaging Wi-Fi antenna is seen in the form of big coffee cans.
The one thing we really like about the coffee can antenna is, one, it's a little more efficient, and two, can we get a shot inside of there? There's our little end connector down at
and
the base.
It uses
and the copper
can.
Wire. Exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know what? That's all, and there's three parts. We solder a piece of copper into the end connector.
Yeah.
Right? The end connector gets mounted to the can.
Mm-hmm.
If you mount it in the right place, you're done.
What has been the talk of the town in Wi-Fi and communications technology conventions worldwide is that homemade antennas are actually discouraged because they're not as efficient and people tend to abuse them and steal their neighbours' Wi-Fi connections.
Well, remember when I talked in the beginning about how they wanted certification standards?
They don't want
you. They only want you to use an approved combination of a card and an antenna because they don't want you to exceed certain power limits.
So they don't want you making your own antennas, basically.
They don't want you to make your own antennas, and they want you mixing and matching antennas from different places.
Stay where you are, folks.
A complete waste of time from a guy showing he's got way too much spare time on his hands, or a potential so cutting edge it hurts art installation. You decide. The human hamster wheel, which, if you look closely, is actually more of an oval than a circle, is staying put in an apartment for some time to come, as it's just too big to get out the door. So what did the poor guy do to deserve such an unsightly living room ornament?
Well, this is retribution for some of my previous pranks.
The apartment in which the human hamster wheel sits actually has its floor covered in shredded newspaper.
The water bottle works. This is wonderful. In order to get it to work, you have to hit the little racket ball with your nose, and then your sinuses fill with water. That's pretty much how it works.
It's not full of water right now.
It drains out in about a day, like a normal water bottle. Bunch of stale Cheetos, my toilet paper tube. And it gets very hot in there.
We ended up with just some amazing details. I love this toilet paper tube, because it's got that last little bit of toilet paper on it. It's pretty scary as it stands right now. Fun scary. But scary.
The David Letterman Show has been known to feature some unique and memorable guests with interesting tales to tell, and this next gadget freak is no exception. An epiphany struck this inventor when he was sitting in front of the TV in a very comfortable position and, reluctant to leave the couch to get a beer, he realised there had to be a better way. Instead of standing up and walking over to the cold beverage, make the beer come to you. We now bring to you the beer launching fridge.
And did the design come easily to you?
Yeah, I think that I've done a lot of robotics in the past. And I just see it in my head and build it.
And what was the expense involved here?
It was maybe $500 and 150 hours of work. Yeah. And people say I'm a lazy person for, you know, I don't want to get off at the couch.
Right,
but
sure. Yeah. No, you really, exactly.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah, well, the mother of necessity.
Yeah.
Or whatever that goes. Now, will you sell this? Are people interested in buying this?
I was surprised how many people are interested in buying it. But mainly the emails I get are like, yo, dude, that's awesome. Can I buy one?
That's right. And if you were able to mass produce them, what would they cost?
I think it would be $1,500.
$1,500? And this thing pays for itself in a weekend, really, doesn't it? All right, well, we have it here, and if the guys will bring it out, we'll demonstrate the... You're calling it the beer launching fridge,
beer
is
launching
what it is?
Beer launching fridge,
yeah.
Correct.
Well, it's a beauty.
Yeah.
Okay, now here, you have the remote control there.
Keyless entry to your car.
Keyless entry.
Except, hit unlock, starts rotating. Well,
there goes the arm, sure.
And lids.
Now this is a regular refrigerator that's been modified.
Slightly.
Yeah.
And hit lock, and here comes the beer.
Okay.
Hopefully.
What we're seeing here is a robotic arm attached to the top of a small bar fridge. A beer pops out of the top of the fridge, the arm picks it up and flings it to the seated spectator in one swift move.
That's a wonderful thing. Congratulations, John. A grateful nation salutes you.
And that's all we've got time for in this Gadget Freak podcast. Don't forget you can watch the complete videos to all of these Gadget Freaks and more by visiting us at www.electronicsweekly.com/gadgetfreak. I'm Rob Kotevsky. Thanks for joining us.